Welcome to another episode of Checkers or Wreckers podcast with Dega Davey in the Nose. Pretty packed show today, actually, talking about Daytona Road Course and how really boring it was, you know, Cup, Xfinity, trucks, the usual. Get into some racing topics, talking about Justin Allgaier versus AJ Allmendinger. Who's the bigger bitch in that situation? Who's even right? Should we even go to more road courses? Should we even return back to the Daytona Road Course after that abysmal showing and NBCSN's horrible coverage post-race for the Cup? New rally scheme for Jimmy Casgrala, ready for Cup? Bubba staying in RPM? And then also going over last week's picks, who was right, who was wrong, and then the Dover preview, double Dover. Let's get it going. Hammer down, baby. So this past week was probably one of the best weeks of my life, because not only did Chase Elliott win, he fucking dominated. We're talking like Stratton Oakmont versus everybody else back in 1992 with Jordan Belfort at the helm. Because I always get scared for Chase. I rarely pick Chase to win races, because when I do that, he always like DNFs, flips over on his head. Just something happens, blows a tire. But this week, obviously I didn't pick him, but he dominated, and I was so happy. But it didn't even feel real at that point, honestly. When I was watching it with Cecilia, I when Chase wins, I don't even get excited anymore.
That must be nice. That must really be nice. You know, go ahead. Lay it in a little bit more. Lay in some more.
No, because you like Dibby.
My cheeks are spread open wide right now. Go ahead.
So when it's like Cecilia likes Jimmy, and when Blaney wins, that's cool for all of us. But then you like Dibby and you like Suarez. So if they were to win, it would be like moving mountains. But when Chase wins, Cecilia looks at me and goes, "You don't even look that excited." And I'm like, "I'm so excited. This is my guy." And I'm like running around the house playing like the Dawsonville pool room siren. That, and she goes, That's enough. And I take my little die cast and I do little donuts with them because I didn't get to see the donuts at NBCSN because they cut away as soon as the race was over. And yeah, I was so mad. Like, I had to go on like NBCSports.com to even catch a glimpse of like the Casgrala interview or like Chase and all that, which made me really mad. But I think some takeaways from this race, from your perspective, would be a lot more, because you're the one who said that there was going to be a whole bunch of cautions. They're flipping in turn one. So what did you think about this race? Were you surprised at the outcome, and were you surprised by what happened?
I was. The cautions obviously did not happen the way I thought they would. You know, a lot of the cautions were not for driver error. I was expecting this weekend to be a ton of driver error, you know, guys overshooting corners, crashing out in the barriers, you know, hitting each other, learning the braking points that either weren't there or were too late, which some of it did happen. Don't get me wrong, but it didn't happen as much as we thought. Like that first turn, I'm thinking like, oh man, all hell's about to break loose. It didn't. So it kind of took me back in that sense. It wasn't a bad race. But the general consensus I got, you know, from not only seeing what other fans had to say, but also my own, is this race, to a degree, I think was kind of overhyped, you know, for what we saw. There was some good battling, but it wasn't, it wasn't the inexperienced wrecking that we were kind of expecting to see, that we saw at the Roval, which had practice, it had qualifying. This track didn't. So you're thinking, oh man, all hell's about to break loose. And it never really came through. In Xfinity, it did. And we saw a lot of guys lose their damn splitter going through the back chicane. It's like, Jesus, who's going to be next? You know? But in the Cup, it was very clean. You know, remind me of like a Sonoma or Watkins Glen. It looked like a lot of guys had been there before in a Cup car. So it was, I don't know, I guess I'm more impressed at how few cautions there were, I guess.
So the only time that I remember seeing like drastic things happening was all right, the very end of the cup race, whenever Joey Logano tried to pass from 10th all the way down into like first, and he not only knocked into Bowman, but he spun out Bubba, which prompted Bubba to go on Twitter and talk his shit, which I agree with them. I don't know why Joey did not have a run on those two enough to pass him on the inside with that amount of speed. Now, the other ones were Zane Smith, whenever he way overshot the corner of the trucks, and then you had some guys just randomly spinning out. And then we have Xfinity Series where people are just sending it into turn one, and especially whenever the Mike Harmon Racing guys, the stand for the flag was on the front row, and their asses were walking fire.
I have some set notes about that. Do you want to wait or do you want to jump into it now?
Just go right into it. I mean, this is the intro.
I'm going to go right into it. 7 laps to go, and I have it written down as both, quote, I stand for the flag cars. Look, I don't even have their names written down because it's fucking irrelevant.
Kyle Weatherman is one of them.
Yes, that much I know. The other guy, I'm like, who gives a fuck?
I don't remember him.
So, look, the Allmendinger, the dinger, as I have my notes, drove like a cuck. And he shoved one of them into the front of the field where he did not belong on older tires, had no control of the car. And it was dumb. So I don't know what the hell the dinger was doing. And that's not where his shit stopped. Obviously, he swiped out Justin Allgaier, which, again, we'll cover that here in a second. But, you know, that was so stupid, seeing those two Mike Harmon cars out there that had no business being at the front of the field and just clogging up the whole line. I believe it was that incident that cost Chase Briscoe his day because he got caught up in the middle of no man's land and was done for the day. Was doing great, wiped out. And you know what? Is anyone at home sitting there thinking, oh, man, it says on – yeah, I think I will stand for the flag. Like, come on, man. Like, get the fuck out of here.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to start standing. But did you see what happened after the race to them?
Yes, of course I did. And fuck, we'll jump into it right now. We'll jump into it right now. First off, the first takeaway, the incident between Allmendinger and Allgaier at the end of the race.
Whoa. I'm talking about Mike Harmon Racing.
Oh, what are you talking about? But go on. Wait.
Their hauler and the 47 car inside of it got stolen, like with the dually that it was attached to, outside of Georgia on their way home.
Good.
I saw a bunch of memes and was like, stand for the flag, but also help us find our car.
Yeah. You know, Georgia is the heart of stand for the flag country. So that's appalling.
Well, eventually it'll turn up. I mean, my Carmen's not little guy showing up to the house going, hey guys, can I have my truck back? He's all over Facebook right now. But you know what? Mike Harmon Racing is my least favorite race team in all NASCAR. So for them to have anything bad to them happen is absolutely hilarious. But before we get into what happened, you know, you were jumping the gun a little bit, like Allmendinger.
Mm.
So Sheldon Creed actually did surprise me. I did not think Sheldon Creed. I thought Moffitt was going to come after him, and Rafael Lassard had one hell of a race, honestly. And I was really pulling for Rafael, because I like seeing foreign guys win in NASCAR. But it surprised me that Sheldon was so good at the road course. But in a way, he did super trucks at road courses, so it wasn't too surprising. But I still enjoyed it. The truck race was a lot of fun, but also I wanted people to be on fire. I wanted people to overshoot the corner a lot more, but only Zane Smith did it. So
the only fire that we saw out of all three of these races were the fires in the damn cockpit of these cars. I mean, you had guys falling out left and right. I was I forget what driver it was, a post, and the infield care center was freaking packed at the end of every race that happened this weekend because it was so damn hot out there. I mean, there were even guys on pit crew that were falling out.
Did you see what happened to JJ Yaley?
Yeah, I mean, him and I believe somebody else had to step out of the car.
Like he, all right, you know. JJ, for those who know, pit goes down to the end of the pit road, stops like in the middle of it, and gets out of his car and like falls out of it because he's so hot. Now, NASCAR Heat 5 and Xbox, or I don't even know if Xbox actually sponsored him, but they did sponsor the car, so I was really interested. And then whenever he fell out of the car, I was like, what the hell is this dude doing? Also, JJ Yaley, I'm surprised you're still driving a NASCAR, but Welcome everybody back to the JJ Yaley Show. Let's get back to JGR. All right. So what? So other than all this stuff, I gotta ask. You know, is Justin Allgaier the biggest bitch in the Xfinity series?
No, No.
He is.
No, he's not. Austin Cindric is.
How?
I'll tell you why. Austin Cindric, when him and Briscoe were going at the end of stage two, look, they were racing. Correction. Briscoe was racing like a man. All right. He had the lead. Cindric came and took it, and he took it right back and got the stage win.
Are you saying
on the radio?
You're saying
this is for the road course. Yes. Yeah. So now overall, I don't know, because Cindric doesn't get himself involved in a lot of instances. Allgaier and Ferris had a lot of bad luck on his side. I don't blame him, you know, for having an attitude. But as far as Cindric goes, he was not taken out. He was not raced dirty. He was raced. It was racing. The bumping and shoving, that's part of it. You know, we're on a road course here. He easily could have been swiped out, and he wasn't. He got on the radio and was screaming. Because you go, Briscoe, I told him I would put him in the grid, man. He was crying like a fucking bitch. You're thinking, this man has just won, at this point, before he won this race, he had won four of the last five races. And here he is whining like a little bitch because he couldn't get first place in stage two. Get the fuck out of here. That pissed me off big time. But proud of for Briscoe for fighting back and holding down the lead in stage two there. Now, as far as Allgaier is concerned, is he a little bitch? No. I'm gonna say no, or better yet, I'm gonna say not yet. Not yet. No, he hasn't demonstrated enough to me that he's a whiny bitch. Is he awfully, awfully short? Yes, he is. That was the first thing that stood out to me instantly. I was watching the replay, and I saw, you know, Allmendinger sitting there taking off his helmet and stuff, and I see this little midget, the little midget in red, come. I mean, he was like strolling, just you know, like a huff of energy, and that's the first thing that stood out to me. And I'm glad NASCAR. I think NASCAR knew, or NBC knew, they should have probably muted the audio on that, but I'm kind of glad they didn't, because we never really get to hear word for word what these interactions are like when guys come together, and we got to hear a little bit of it, and it wasn't very kind, and I liked it. Well, what do you have to say about Allgaier? Why is he the biggest bitch in NASCAR? Go ahead. I'm eager to hear this.
No, biggest bitch in the Xfinity series. Now, I did think that the Austin Cindric throwing the water bottle literally at Chase Briscoe's car was funny as hell, but also very petty, because I thought Chase Briscoe raced that race very clean to Austin Cindric. They are friends outside the track. But whenever I heard, same as you, whenever I heard Cindric bitching on the radio, I'm like, what the fuck's this guy a problem? Like, has he never raced in NASCAR before? He's raced
in three. That's literally what I thought. It's like, is this your first race?
Like, I'm sitting there with, you know, my dick in my hand. Like, are you kidding me? Like, what is your, why are you so mad right now? Like, I get it's hot, but like, he didn't wreck you. He's just racing you. Like, everybody wants to be raced. Like, you don't want to have just like Chase Elliott winning every single race with nobody even challenging him. Everybody wants to race. So I think, but Allgaier is just whining to me. In that post-race exchange with Allmendinger, he's like, you wrecked me at Talladega. And then he goes, no, he said, you always wreck me. You always wreck me. And then Allmendinger said, when did I wreck you? He goes, Talladega. And then they kind of stare at each other. And then Allmendinger goes, you're not even racing for points, man. And then he goes, yeah, I mean, I made a mistake. That's my fault. He goes, yeah, you made a mistake. He goes, yeah, but you make a lot of mistakes too. And he goes, yes, I do. He goes, all right then. And he said, I will sit back and I watch you make mistakes. I like whenever they fight. I don't care if it's COVID or not. I saw Gregson and Harrison Burton going at each other without helmets on. And AJ was just cool, calm, collected, taking his helmet right off. He's just taking everything off. And he was going to whoop some ass. And then Allgaier, a little farm boy bitch ass from Illinois, And then he just has his helmet on the whole time. Like, he's Jeff Gordon at Bristol versus Matt Kenseth. Like, seriously, dude? Like, take off the helmet. But I think that he's just right now the biggest bitch. I understand that Cindric really showed his ass, but I think that Allgaier right now is just really just pissing me off. I really don't like Allgaier. I didn't like him when he was at Team Penske in the 12 for the Xfinity Series. I don't think he's proven enough. He's also like him and Michael Annette. It's like half of JR Motorsports are unproven. And then we have Daniel Hemric wrecking out every single time that he fucking races.
Poor fucking guy.
I feel bad for him because he has mechanical issues. And then the other times when he doesn't, when he's not mechanical issue, he wrecks.
He's wrong place at the wrong time. It's not on him. If you look, no, I blame like a lot him. Of his wrecks, it's no. I mean, look, the only part of the Cindric on the radio that really pissed me off was at the very end before he went to commercial break. After he finished his rant, he's like, ah!
Oh, yeah.
He literally sounds like a fucking 10-year-old, like on the phone, like on Xbox.
No, no, like, he sounds no. He sounded like the Dean scream, like, hey, like, all right,
dude, I don't know. Okay, all right, yeah, moving on.
Look, we went to the road course, and I gotta say, a lot of people were like, this is awesome, this is awesome, and some people liked it. I'm not gonna get into that right now, but should we go to more road courses? Right now we have 3 on the schedule if you count the Roval. So we have Watkins Glen, Sonoma, and Roval. Do you think that we should go to more like Road America or even like Road Atlanta or even like New Hampshire Roval? Like, do you think that we should have more road courses? Because right now we have 36 race season, we have 3. So
I would say yes, add one more. Whether it be Daytona, I think a night road course race would be really cool, which Daytona has the infrastructure to do.
Well, they're doing it. They're doing Busch Clash at night, road course.
So again, that's case in point. So that would be a really cool idea. And as far as what race to substitute is, do we need to go to some of these mile and a halfs twice?
Texas.
Do we need to go to Texas twice and watch a 4.5-hour race, dick in hand, nothing happening?
I'll tell you what. If the boys out there in Texas could do a 700-mile race, they would try to do 750 just to piss off everybody else. Because for whatever reason, they think 500 miles of Texas is good. I think 250 miles of Texas is too much sometimes. I'll take 300. 500,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, take out a Texas race. Take out a Pocono race. It's just dumb to me to go there twice. It's just for the track that it is. But take out one of the races that we go to twice. Because think about it. Your unique race courses, you go to twice. You go to Bristol twice, Martinsville, Daytona, Talladega. You go to those places twice. So for a road course, twice, I'm talking as far as a super speedway is concerned, that's 4 total super speedways. As far as short track goes, the good ones, I'm not factoring in Richmond to this, but like Martinsville and Bristol particularly, that's 4 times to go to those tracks, which are fun to watch. So why not throw in a 4th road course? You know, you're doing 36 races a year. Having 4 of those be road courses is not dominating the series with road courses. You know, if it's 4. Now, if it's 5 or 6 out of 36, yeah, maybe a little too much. But I like the idea of, like, throw a unique one in there. You know, Watkins Glen's fun to watch. The Roval's always fun to watch. I mean, both times they've been there, it's been a freaking awesome race to watch. So love the Roval. But yeah, why not?
So I think that we should add more road courses, but it kind of bleeds into the next topic. And like I said, we'll get to it. And I know we always say in this podcast, we'll get to it. But I'll tell you what, shut the fuck up. You don't like the format. Get your own podcast. But the road courses, I think we should go to Road Atlanta. I think we should go to Road America. And I think we should go to maybe Mid-Ohio. I think we should go to like actual road courses. I don't want street courses. Hell no. That would be so bad because these cars are really bad at handling. I think we should take it away from Texas. I think we should take it away from like a Kentucky if they have a 2. But, and it leads me into my next thing. an opinion that also leads to your question, a question for you, is that I thought the Daytona Road Course, it was just too big. It was like a really big version of the Roval, mm-hmm. but the Roval is a perfect size, and the Daytona Road Course is just way too big, and there was no passing in the non-road course places. There was no passing in the, there was, right, correction, rarely any passing in the actual oval, which I didn't like. I honestly do not want to return to Daytona Road Course for a points paying race. I'd rather give that to an actual road course that has proven that it's actually had better races, because Daytona Road Course for me this past weekend, boring as hell. Way more boring than I thought. And that's not even overhyped. It's like the cars get spread out way too far. There's not much opportunity to catch up at all, unless you're like Ringer or Dinger, and you're just going and you're like literally catching up people in the road course by a second. But even then, drops back 5 seconds and the race is over. So like, you already know who the race is gonna, who's gonna win by like lap five going out if there's no cautions left. So I just, do you think that we should be coming back to this road course?
I like, yes, but I'm conflicted here. If we had practice, if we had qualifying, we would get a better idea. This was a battle of attrition. All right. This was not a battle of who's the fastest and best guy. We saw in every single series who gets out front, who has the best shot on the front row. Sheldon Creed, start out front in third stage. Chase Elliott, start out front in third stage. That's for the Xfinity race. Austin Cindric, he started the fucking pole. So the three big things those guys have in common is that they were out front at the end of the stage. You did not see anybody go from like you mentioned, you're right, there was no passing. You're not going to see a guy from 10th place work his way up to the front. Didn't happen. Didn't exist. And it seemed to me it was clean air and just having the track to yourself was the big part. So I don't think it's fair to say that we shouldn't go back to Daytona without a regular weekend. Because again, this was a little crapshoot. Let's take everybody, throw them on the track, see what happens, and call it a race. You know, so, and the only thing I didn't like about Daytona is that it feels like a bigger version of the Roval. The Roval feels kind of thrown together. It's a flat track. Like you mentioned, it's not a real road course. You know, there's not any banking, angling. It's just a bunch of flat turns for these big, heavy stock cars to have to navigate around for control. So we already have that at the Roval. So at Daytona, I wish, you know, there was more embankment and stuff. You know, it's just like playing on a flat golf course. That's kind of what it, you know, feels like when you go to these Roval or Daytona road course. So I do want a night road course that's points paying, you know, where they can light up Sonoma or Watkins Glen or Mid Ohio or Road America. That'd be cool to see. But if they can't, I still believe we should have four, maybe five road course races in a season. Take out some of these freaking dumb mile and a half redundant tracks that have no excitement. But yeah, I agree, man. These flat tracks, there wasn't much. But again, we don't know how much of that fell into the part of no practice, no qualifying.
So for those that are not, no one knows, let me tell you this. I snuck into Charlotte Motor Speedway. I can't remember. I think like a year ago, I just drove right in through the tunnel and I almost started taking laps, but you know what? I saw like a cop car. So I started rolling and I booked it out of there. But when I did park my car, I started walking around. Surprisingly enough, compared to Daytona, Charlotte Roval has a lot of elevation change. I think it's like 180 feet worth of it. Like when you're going around the S's in the infield, there's actually a lot of blind turns. But when you're at Daytona Road Course, everything's just so open. It just feels like the only blind turn you really have is turn six when you're going back onto the oval from the road course section. So, but I didn't like it. But you know who did like this weekend was Jimmy Johnson. And the new rally scheme he did with the white, I thought it looked fucking badass on this car. And anybody that doesn't like it, I have to question your sexuality at that point. I just wonder what you believe in, your religion, because if you don't believe in this car, I don't know what you're going to believe in, because this team actually did believe in something this weekend with this car. They weren't just kind of mulling around like, oh, one final time, hashtag whatever, Jimmy Johnson. Oh, we got a 7-time champion in here. They had a chance of the win there. I mean, they had third and then Trix took it away, but I really like the scheme. Do you actually believe like the placebo effect of like a fresh coat of paint can save Jimmy's season? Because this scheme's going for the rest of the season.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. It 100% it does. And not only that, think about the unveiling of this thing. We're going to, you know, twice one of his best, probably his best track, you know, which to go to someone's best track as a 7-time champion going to Dover after this race. Shit, come on, man. Perfect timing. So, yeah, I think it was, you know, I think it gets to get all the badness shaken off, you know, get a fresh car, go into a fresh track. After that, you got your old faithful coming up, and then we'll go back to Daytona again. So I like Jimmy's car. You know, when I saw the revealing of it on Instagram, I was kind of iffy about it compared to the regular Ally car. But the white rally car looks good. Looks real good. And
yeah, the only thing I don't like about the rally car is that Cecilia and I just got our 164, 124 t-shirts, everything with the damn black 2020 car. So as soon as we get all our stuff, we have to go right back on Plan B sales and buy a whole fucking new set, which I'm like, whatever. I don't like, I like spending money on NASCAR, but like, dude.
Reminds me of Family Guy when the Griffins buy a brand new TV for HD. That news story comes on. Oh, the next thing that makes HD obsolete coming out next week. Son of a bitch.
Kaz Grala did a damn good job for the COVID dropout driver, Austin Dillon. Now, I like Austin Dillon as a person. I don't like him as a driver. I think that I think Ace is a very silly name for a kid. But you know what? There's a chick named Blue Ivy out there now. And like, there's like North, South, East, and West in the Kardashians. I can't judge them too hard. But Kaz Grala did some pretty badass stuff this weekend. And I was listening to SiriusXM today in the shower, and this guy comes on the radio and the call, and he goes, Kaz Grala to the 48, and he hung up the phone. I was like, is this guy high? And then it raised the question, and then it changed kind of the driving topic for the day. Is Kaz Grala ready for Cup? All right, for reference, 29 races in Xfinity right now. And he does not have a win. I don't even think he has some top five. I think he has like a handful, maybe like one or two top fives, maybe some top tens. But he basically runs part-time for RCR, and he has never run a full season. And people are talking about Cup because he did one good thing. And I'm gonna do something to piss you off here. I think he fucking does deserve to be in Cup.
Get the fuck out of here. Are you serious? Are you being serious right now?
Yes, dude. It's like Jimmy Johnson, no success in the Xfinity Series, and they put him in the 48. What if Kaz Grala next Jimmy Johnson? All right.
Look. I think Kaz Grala. Let me give you a dose Kaz of Grala, reality. Good race at a track no one's ever been to, and it was a battle of who can make the least amount of mistakes.
You're wrong.
No.
Kaz Grala is going to get a waiver and contend for the championship when he gets back in that car for the 3.
At this point,
championship.
I mean, look, and I agree with you as far as the Jimmy Johnson statement with Xfinity. Look, you don't have to be dominant in Xfinity to do good in Cup. You don't have to. Look at Daniel Hemric. He had a much better, I think he had a much better year in the Cup Series last year than he's doing right now in Xfinity. I mean, goddamn, the guy to finish a race right now is a victory in of itself right now. But you need to be in the top 10. You need to be in the top 15. Maybe get some top fives here and there. You at least have to be doing that. Hey, you got to show
something. Hey. Kaz Grala finishing top 10 this past weekend.
Again, track no one's ever been to. Battle of who can make the least amount of mistakes.
No, that was Kaz Grala showing his stuff, and he deserves to be in that 48 ride more than Corey LaJoie at this point.
God. Look, no, he does not. I like Kaz Grala because he's not Austin Dillon. and he did a far better job than Austin Dillon. You mentioned you liked Austin Dillon off the track. I fucking hate him on the track, and I fucking hate him off the track. He's still a rich, bold. He's still a rich Silverstone little punk ass bitch off the track too, when the helmet's off.
Daddy's money.
So he's been that way from day one. He still is. He's out of tune with reality. I don't care for him.
Okay, and so on that note, I'll go ahead and listen. I'll go ahead introduce our first guest of Checkers Records, Austin Dillon, and his son Ace. Welcome to the show, Austin Dillon, and go ahead and kick JP's ass.
You know, look,
how perfect would that be if that happened just now?
It'd be great. It'd be great.
Would you talk shit to him? Virtual?
Oh my god, I would. And you know what? Because look, Austin Dillon, I feel like Austin Dillon reminds me of the Yankees. You either love him or you hate him. And most hate him because he's a silver spoon kid that doesn't deserve that ride. And what we saw to Kaz Grala this weekend is an example of that. Now, is it definite for sure? No idea. Because Austin Dillon actually has won the Cup Series. It takes him, he's got a few wins, but you know, after 7 years. But look, he actually overall should Kaz Grala replace Austin Dillon? I think absolutely. Anybody should. But I don't think he's deserving of the 48 car, any cup car that's worth any money right now. Because look, RCR is a good team in the Cup Series. Look at Tyler Reddick. Dude had back-to-back championships in that car with that equipment. And yet this guy can't get a top 10 every single race? Come on, man.
Hey, I'll tell you what. Reddick would have won at Texas if Austin Dillon was not a Rich Shorter's grandson. When they saw old Austin out front, they pop said, "Go on, make him win, boys. Go on, don't let that Reddick boy win."
Well, yeah, fucking Reddick didn't take tires, and Austin Dillon did because they knew, let's give Dillon the fresher tires. Let's keep Reddick out there.
Side note: it's not on the driving topics. Roush Fenway was talking about today their future plans. They have no intention of coming back to the Xfinity Series, but they want to field a third car. Now, right now, I think they're like 25th and 27th in points.
Dumb.
Like, I don't know, is Jack Roush just like off his rocker? Like, I can understand why you want another car, but like, dude, you guys are the flagship for Ford. Roush makes the damn engines, and Stuart Haas and Penske are out running them every week. And sometimes even Corey LaJoie go fast. Like, I don't know, but... whatever. We got to go on to Bubba Wallace got some new sponsors this week. I love new sponsors. I don't care who they are. I don't care who you are. New sponsor of the sport is fantastic. Columbia personal service deal and also the races at Dover for primary. And then he got DoorDash for the rest of the season to fill out the rest of it. So I think they might have like one single race that's going to have Victory Junction on the rest. But I feel like personally, I don't know if he's going to return back to RPM. Now, the wording sounds like he is, but a lot of the wording on the contracts itself are more Bubba oriented rather than Bubba and RPM oriented. But so I think that Bubba might be leaving RPM. I think he's going to go to CGR.
I'm getting more nervous as each week goes on because, like you mentioned, with each sponsor being announced, it's Bubba's sponsor. Not RPM. You know, a lot of other teams, it's the car is already made. If you go to Penske, if you go to JGR, that sponsorship is with that team, with that car. You know, we saw like with the 19 team, for example, and the number 20 car with Eric Jones, those are the same sponsors, you know, year after year. It doesn't matter what driver's in there. And Penske, another great example of that. Every single driver's run the Menard scheme. Every driver's running the PPG scheme, and they all share the same sponsors. It all gets passed around. You know, it's like the chapter sweetheart. You know, with the fraternity, it's like, look, everyone's gonna get a shot at it. All right, so it's not even, no one's taking it with them. All right,
Jesus.
So that's what it's like. So, but with Bubba. You're right. These are his sponsors. And it's what we alluded to in the past couple episodes is that if he does end up leaving, RPM is going to be down the drain. They're going to be completely shot. They're going to be right back where they were, if not worse. So I don't know if something could get worked out where Ganassi, has some kind of alliance, like a Wood Brothers Penske alliance, where they kind of buy them, but they don't necessarily own them. That'd be kind of cool if it meant if doing that meant RPM could stick around and stay, and Bubba stays in the 43 car to keep that brand going. Fine, I'm good with it. So be it. Do it. But I don't know, man. He's got a lot of money, and I'm really hoping that he keeps the money, sticks with RPM, makes it a raceable team. I want to see more cars that can win races. I'm tired of seeing, you know, the same 8 or 9 cars that maybe have a shot at winning races. I want to see a legit 16 to 20 cars that can actually win a race. You know, there's never going to be a day where all 40 are going to have a shot at it. Doesn't exist. Even on a super speedway, it's not going to happen.
I just think that he would be so much better RPM because the momentum and what he carries over for the next year, keeping your crew chief and all your team in from year to year is huge. Yeah, because other than that, you have to learn everything new. You have to do this kind of stuff. But it also, at the same breath of this is all his sponsors, they're all multi-year deals. Like so he's set up for a couple years. I just hope he doesn't jump ship and say the grass is green over there, because I can almost guarantee it's not. Like, there's a lot of turmoil at Ganassi, especially with the crew chief change from Kyle Larson. And then you're also filling the seat from the guy that said the N-word, and now you're the only black driver in NASCAR filling it. And that's going to be a headline. You're going to be like, what the fuck? But we got to go into hindsight picks from last week. We got to review it. Who won? Who lost? Did Dega Davey come up on top? Or did No One Knows come up on top? So breaking it down, trucks. JP chose Crafton. He finished fourth. I chose Majeski as my primary. Ekis as my dark horse. Majeski 32nd. Ekis 12th. I lost. JP, round of applause. How do you feel about winning that?
That's all right. Because I know what's about to come next.
Okay. Xfinity. We both chose Allmendinger for primary. So we tied into it. Then he chose Chastain. I chose LeBay because I thought LeBay was going to wipe the floor with everybody because he already had additional practice. Didn't matter. LeBay finished 27th. Chastain, 36th. Point. No One Knows. I'd like to thank my sponsors for everything. I'd like to thank the guys back at the shop. Always got to do a lot of hard work. And as every time I hear that, I'm like, dude, just take some credit for yourself. God damn it. Engineering driving the damn car. But Cup Series, we both picked DiBenedetto, but our dark horse picks, JP chose Eric Almirola. I chose Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy finished 4th. Almirola, 24th.
Bacon Man let me down. God damn it.
Listen, I won the series, and I win the series 2-1. JP also lost the bet of the over-under 7.5 for cautions, and there was, I think, 4. So JP, after all that shit talking last week about me losing so bad when JP had all of his picks, it's just like NASCAR. The highs are the really high. The lows are really low. This sport can humble us very fast. And this podcast and Checkers and Records as a whole is no exception. But I'll tell you what, it feels good to be back on top. And I'm excited going towards the Dover preview. So I got to ask you one question, JP. We talked about it earlier. This is Jimmy Johnson's best track. Mm-hmm. Can he come up clutch in one of these races? I'm not saying pick him. I'm saying clutch. Like, do you think he's going to win? I'm not saying pick him, but do you think he's going to win one of those races? Because I fucking do. And I hope he does. And it's not sentimental. He has 11 wins in this track, most of any other active driver. Is he going to win? Point blank.
No. No, he will not.
You're gonna break Silly's heart when you listen to this.
That's fine. I got a conundrum for you here. Do I think he's gonna win? We're gonna go ahead and partially jump into it. Partially. We're gonna jump the gun just a little bit. Is he gonna win? No. And the reason for that is because it's too good to be true. I mean, come on, man. It's Jimmy fucking Johnson. 3 years dry. All right.
But his last one was at this track.
I understand.
Different crew chief, though.
But will he be one of my picks? Yes, he will.
Okay. What's your headline? What's the headline going to be next week? Because we have two Cup, two Xfinity, and one truck, 5 races in one. What do you think is going to be the big news of the weekend?
I think the big news going into Monday or Tuesday, it's not going to be related to the racing. Now, if Jimmy wins, obviously that'll be the major, major headline. That'll fucking catapult everything for weeks straight. That'll just blow up my Instagram. I'll probably be off Instagram for a while because it'll be nothing but Jimmy posts, which I don't have a problem with that, but just seeing the same damn thing over and over and over again. But the big, big news, I think Bubba Wallace is going to have a decision made come Monday or Tuesday. Better yet, between now and then, it could happen Thursday or Friday. That'll be the big, big headline. So aside from the racing, this is the crystal ball pick, you know, aside from the racing and the action's going to be happening, whatever he does, whether he stays with RPM or whether he leaves, that's going to dominate the headlines because of all the sponsorship money and all the coverage he received prior this season, you know, over the Confederate flag and the noose controversy. That's going to be the big headline. Something's going to happen with him. And to a secondary degree, Erik Jones is going to find a home. But again, don't know where.
All right. So going into my favorite segment is who's definitely not winning. I could be funny as hell and say Kyle Larson's not winning. But then again, he's whipping some ass out there in the dirt. Does not change the fact that he's the Mark Furman of NASCAR.
Yep.
But he's still slinging some dirt. Who's not winning for me? Kevin Harvick. Harvick dominated the Dover races last year.
That's bold.
Now, it wasn't even fun to watch the one where Harvick just mopped the whole damn thing, cleaned everybody's fucking clock. It was like, out of 400 laps, he led like 390. I was like, this is dumb. And I sat there and I watched it, though, because I'm a diehard NASCAR fan. I'm not going to bitch, because any racing's good racing. But Kevin Harvick, not winning.
Bold, man. That's bold.
Neither. You're not going to win. Who's definitely not winning for you?
Two big guys chalked up here. Kyle Busch ain't fucking winning. He ain't winning.
I was so happy when he wrecked.
Kyle Busch's season. I think Kyle Busch, I'm going to go slightly on a limb here. Give me about 30 seconds. Kyle Busch as a whole has got to be in full panic mode. We mentioned he should be going to panic mode a few weeks back, but now he's there. He's going to fuck around, not make the playoff cut. And not only that, talk about the trucks here for a second. His teammate doing that hot. If I memory serves me correct here, looking back at the season so far for the trucks, none of his drivers have won a race. Kyle Busch himself does not count. Brandon Jones does not count. None of his guys have won a race this year. So Kyle Busch, as a team owner and as a driver, utter fucking spiral right now. He is spiraling out, and next thing you know, DeBurrito or Johnson or Reddick or Bowyer or Byron, they're going to find themselves in front of Kyle Busch in the playoff bubble. But moving on, the other guy not winning, he's driving hot right now. It's not going to be Brad Keselowski. He ain't doing jack shit.
I thought you were going to say Denny Hamlin.
No, that's too bold. It's too bold.
Well, I'll go on a limb right now. Denny nor Harvick will win a race this weekend.
So the two guys that have won half the races, or more than half the races since NASCAR resumed again, not win the race.
No, I'm like Coach Orgeron after beat Alabama. Fuck you. Yeah, it was like, what? Roll Tide, what? Fuck you. So, I think.
Bold.
Right, I think. Right. So you said Brad K is not winning. Horse ain't winning. They're not going to have to bring any stables. So that's nice. But who are your picks? All right, because we're going to start a new thing here. If you lose last week, you pick first. And we're not going to pick the same drivers because I don't like that.
Yeah.
So whoever picks first obviously can't pick second. So you go first with trucks. Who is your main and your dark horse?
All right, my main guy here is going to be Brett Moffitt. He finished second last year at the Dover race. He came very close on Sunday for the race at Daytona. He's been close since the series resumed. He's been close, but no cigar. He's been very, very close. I think the momentum has finally caught up to that team. He knows he can win. He just has to put himself in a better position. He's going to a track he's been to a bunch, experienced at. And I think they're finally starting to get their shit together. I like him. Give me Moffitt for there. As far as a dark horse goes, look, this team has been struggling bad. And this team is Hallmar Racing, Stuart Friesen. They have been, I mean, awful. We mentioned last episode, you could throw a blanket on Hemric, Johnson, and Stuart Friesen, and as far as bad luck goes. And I think this is going to be the race. He's going to turn it all around. He didn't do too terribly great last year at Dover, but this man is going to be on a freaking mission. He has to win. He absolutely has to win if he wants to get a shot at winning or going to the playoffs. So watch out for him. He's going to be driving like a fucking bat out of hell. Who do you got?
I'm going to be a real big asshole here. I'm going to be an absolute fucking dick. Johnny Sauter is going to win that race.
He won last year. That's a good choice.
My dark horse pick is Zane Smith. I got to go with the guy that's one of the ugliest dudes, him and Sheldon Creed, ugliest guys in truck for Sauter. And then we have pretty boy Zane Smith. I think he's going to do big things. Now for the double races, do you want to pick for two races, or do you just want to pick for one and those picks be for both? Because it's going to be the same exact thing.
I want overall.
So who are your overall picks for this weekend?
Overall, in your terms, the winning's pitching this game. I'm going with Justin Allgaier. He's done good at Dover.
You're a dick.
Yep. And so give me little man Allgaier out front overall. So and behind him, we as far as my dark horse goes, which really not that much of a dark horse pick, is Noah Gragson. We haven't seen much of him in the past few races. He's been up there, but he's like a Brett Moffitt. But, you know, instead of being second and third, he's been like a fourth or fifth guy. So look out for Gragson. He's gonna pull his shit together. Because, again, with Junior Motorsports, somebody's got to come out of somewhere and do something, you know, here pretty soon. It's been a few races, and it's been the freaking Cindric show. So someone from Junior Motorsports is going to come out and do something. And I think it's going to be Gragson.
I'm going to do just like you. I'm going to pick from the same team. Ross Chastain is going to win this race for the Xfinity. Now, my dark horse pick is Justin Haley. I'm going to be honest with you. Justin Haley does not have the best record here, but I believe in the little man. We're going with little man today. Gragson, Allgaier, Chastain, Haley, all under 5'8". So they're all really short dudes. Dale Jr. is like 5'8", too. But yeah, I thought it was really fun when everybody started looking up how tall is Justin Allgaier.
That's immediately the first thing I did when I said, "Wait a minute, I didn't think it was him." I said, "Who's this?" I'm like, "That's an Allgaier."
I like his new haircut. The way he kind of flips it back, rather than like the little school shooter one where he like calms it all down constantly. But yeah. Whatever. What's your picks for double Dover Cup?
For the Dover Cup here, unlike you. And every time you pick against Harvick, I seem to do pretty well. I'm going with Harvick, man. Won the race last year. And look, you could flip a damn coin between Harvick and Denny Hamlin. One of them's going to win it, more than likely.
Think you're funny or something?
No, I just pay attention. I watch the races. So I like Harvick. Give me him. I mean, fuck. He was my last. I picked him double at Michigan, and he did it back to back. As far as a dark horse pick goes here, and I mentioned this earlier, I don't think he's actually going to do it, but damn it, I like nostalgia. I like the new paint scheme. Fucking give me a rally. Give me Jimmy fucking Johnson, man. Come on, Jimmy, get your fucking ass in fucking victory lane. Do it.
I like those picks. I mean, I think that other than Harvick, because it's a cop out, and I think anybody picks him as a bitch. But I do like his new Darlington throwback. That is a cool one. It reminds me of the one from like 2015 that you already have, diecast. But it's a better version of it. I like Jimmy. I would love to see Jimmy win. I have nothing against Jimmy Johnson. This is still his favorite driver. Was my favorite driver for a long time, him and Tony Stewart. My picks are like out on a limb, but I think something's going to happen this week. Eric Almirola, main pick.
If I had three choices, I'd be right there with you. Good pick.
Almirola and / We're going to go with the fish card this week, Bubba. I don't know why. Mm. It might be Richard whispering in my ear. It might be the fact that I order a lot of DoorDash lately and the fact that I wore my Columbia stuff just to be like Bubba. But I want to be the Bubba. I think he might have a shot. I think that Dover's one of those places where you either love it or hate it. And when we drive on it, it's always fucking wild. So we don't know. It's almost like a road course to me. Mm-hmm. The way you dive down to the corners, you ride it around like a like that spinning top ride at the fair. You just everybody kind of moves up the wall. That's the way it happens to me. And I think there's gonna be big wrecks out of turn three, but I don't know. Bubba with the fish car. You know, he's just sleeking around like, can't catch me, I'm a fish fucker. Do you have any closing thoughts, JP, about this weekend? Are you excited about anything?
I'm really excited. I like doubleheaders. I'm really hyped for this one. Dover's such a fun track to go to. You don't know what's going to happen. So it could be a boring snooze fest like it was with Harvick last year. It could be like Michigan, the first race that we saw this year. Who fucking knows? But all I know is that time is running out. So now's the time. Last two races before we go to the shit show that is Daytona. I think it's going to have some good racing, some damn good racing, and some contracts are out there to be signed. That's what we're looking for.
So I'm with you on the excitement level. NBCSN, or NBC, whatever, when they do the commercials, the best racing is now. I agree with you. It gets me chills thinking about it because we are literally in crunch time. If you don't win these next two races, these are the only solid races you have mm-hmm. going towards. Because if you think going into Daytona, anybody, if Harvick goes, oh, it's a lock, no way. Nobody knows who's going to win Daytona. That's what I love about it. That's why I'm fucking going there.
This is Jimmy's weekend. Front row. That's what I'm saying. This is Jimmy's fucking weekend. If he's going to do it, this is now.
It. Yes, he has to do it now. And when I'm watching all the races, mostly Cup, because they kind of push back the start of the other two series playoffs. But when they're going to Dover this weekend, this is going to be the last lock spot. Clint's on the line. Clint Boyer does not have a contract. And that's one of the more notable ones. But you have other people in the hot seat too. I don't remember them all because there's just so many. But still, we have a lot of people going towards we got a lot of people going towards the bottom of the line. You know, Kyle Busch doesn't win this. If he crashes out, DNFs three straight races, he's out of the playoffs. You got people chomping at the bit. I'm the most excited about the playoff picture. I'm excited about Jimmy. I'm excited about the new scheme. I'm excited about new sponsors like Columbia. And God damn it, I do love Dover and the way that we kind of dive in mm-hmm. the corner like that. So closing this final episode closing this episode today, we got the haulers loaded up, two cars in there for Cup, two cars in there for Xfinity, just one little car for trucks. But I'll tell you what, God damn it, five races this weekend. Dega Davey and I are pumped. And you know what? We'll see you during Daytona week. Thanks for another great episode.
See you guys.